Welcome back to the programme. Now, great reaction to Brian Crowley. Another caller was on to say, Brian is the most outstanding politician I've known. He stands for everything I believe in. He presented me with the Cork Person of the Month in 2010. The first Christmas card I get every year is from him. What a great loss to the county, says Ty Kelleher in Cork. Another one says, nice lad and I have great sympathy for him, but he hasn't answered the question, why have you not resigned? And that's from Seamus in Dublin. Well, Seamus, he figured that every operation he had was going to be the one that would get the cure, and it just kept going on and on and on, and operation after operation after operation. It would stretch some people pretty far, and he's obviously coping with it pretty well. Now, this wasn't a great week if you're a committed carnivore. I don't know, are you a committed carnivore or an accidental carnivore or one that just your mammy and daddy gave you meat? But anyway, the Lancet Medical Journal said that we need to dramatically reduce our meat consumption if we are to avoid a climate catastrophe. And here in Ireland, apparently, that means cutting back on, it is alleged, 90% of our red meat products to about 14 grams a day, which they also say is the same as half a rasher of bacon. The rows we're going to have about sums and percentages will be interesting to observe. This new low-meat diet is sometimes called flexitarian or, would you believe, reducetarian. Today, The Guardian talks to the man who coined the phrase reducetarian, who runs a foundation to motivate people to eat less meat. And he says his inspiration to cut back on meat came from a bout of sibling score settling. And one Thanksgiving, he ate a small piece of turkey. And in that moment, his sister, as siblings will do, said, I thought you were a vegetarian. I couldn't articulate then as well as I can now, but I thought that the average person in the world should reduce. Now, well, in the Western world, I'm joined in studio, long-winded way to say, I'm joined in studio by Paula Mee, consultant dietitian. Explain to me, said Finn, you know, I mean, do they want us all to overnight throw everything that we have done all our lives out the window and start eating vegetables?
No, hello. They don't. No, right. No, they don't.
Okay, I suppose, well, that's a relief.
This was the first attempt to set universally scientific targets for food systems that apply to all people and the planet. So this report had a double agenda. First of all, it tried to identify a healthful diet for all to avoid a lot of the disease that we see, and also to identify a safe operating space for food systems that will enable us to reach targets like the Paris Agreement and the UN targets that we have. So it was very ambitious. And you have to remember that this is a global report.
What's okay? The thing you stressed that?
Yeah, because we need to extrapolate what is relevant for us in Ireland. And to be honest, this does not mean that we will radically change our diet. Like, the recommendations that are already in place in terms of meat consumption are pretty close. I mean, it is a little bit more strict, I think. What it is suggesting is that if we are to meet our environmental and health targets, we will need to globally consume double the amount of fruit, vegetables, nuts and legumes, which are pulses and beans and peas, and we will need to halve our consumption of meat and sugar. Now, that's globally. So what we really need to do is look at what our current consumption patterns are in Ireland and see how we might, you know, look at that benchmark and how we perform against it.
And do you know what our consumption is at the moment, and what you, as in your professional capacity, would think appropriate?
Well, I think we are consuming too much processed meat, and that is an issue. Now, you know,
but this isn't your Sunday roast.
No, it isn't the Sunday roast. But I suppose we do need to look at portion sizes of meat, and we are very generous with our portion sizes. You know, and we have some good evidence. We've very strong evidence that up to 500 grams of red meat per week is, you know, is safe intake.
In all God's money, that's a half pound.
Well, that is over the week. Yeah, and so that's three. If you've moderate portions of meat, that would be about three portions per week. Now, the report would suggest 2 to 3 portions. That is probably optimal. But what it's trying to do is to skew us more to a plant-based plate. So in other words, pushing the plants in the centre stage and using meat, fish, shellfish and all of those things that are environmentally costly to produce over to the margins. And in that
so
way,
that changes the food pyramid as we used to describe.
Well, our food pyramid has recently been reviewed,
and the fruit
and vegetables have gone down to the bottom. But it will, you know, this report is going to bring us challenges, but it's also going to bring us opportunities. For example, we know that we can grow nuts in this country.
Well, can we? I was listening to a farmer on the other day, and he indeed is growing hazelnuts. But we have Brazil nuts. I think it was hazelnuts. He said he was growing.
It's estimated that we import about 90 tonnes of hazelnuts per year. And this is an opportunity to look at varieties of walnuts, chestnuts.
Would they grow
hazelnuts
here?
Yes, they do. Apparently, they have grown in the past before and flourished in the past. And, you know, they like our cool climate, believe it or not.
Because if you go into any supermarket buying just the list you're talking to there, they're coming from all over the world.
That's
like
right.
There's a contradiction there that you fly in your 90 tons halfway around the world and that's leaving a footprint.
That is, absolutely. So there will be opportunities. And I suppose, you know, this is about diversity. It's about looking at our agricultural policies going forward. You know, there is no doubt that we can't poo-poo this research. It is particularly robust. You know, the scientific findings, we do need to listen to them. Of course, you know, this is going to make people irate. Of course, this is going to threaten people. You know, but at the moment, we have 820 million people that lack sufficient food and calories around the world. And then we have many more people eating very low quality diets and too much food. So, you know, our unhealthy diets now pose, would you believe, a greater risk to morbidity and mortality than unsafe sex, alcohol, drugs and tobacco put together.
Read that out to me again.
This report will estimate that if we double our intake of fruit and legumes and nuts and seeds and we half our intake of sugar and meat, that we can prevent 11 million deaths per year. Now, that is very substantial. And I have to say that, you know, a lot of people and the food industry probably are, first of all, are going to be pretty shocked by some of the findings in this report.
Yeah.
But not to sensationalise it, we do need to remain calm and look and see what is relevant for us out of this report.
Yeah. I have been down through the years been reading out results of research and researchers say and research finds and it is alleged, etc. We were told that butter was very, very bad for us. We're not told that now. We were told that animal fat was very bad for us. We're not told that now.
Well, I disagree with you there. Like animal fats in particular, it is all about the balance, Marion. So there's nothing wrong with a little animal fat, but the majority of our fat should be unsaturated or vegetable-based or plant-based. That's where the science is. And if you look at the real research, if you look at the robust research, you'll see that, you know, this report was put together by a collaboration of 37 leading scientists. Now, these are nobodies. These are leading eminent minds in their own fields. They're across the human nutrition and health, environmental sustainability, political science and agriculture. And we have this collaborative report. You know, there are people like Professor Walter Willett from Harvard on this. They represent 16 different countries. And you know, it is going to be, I suppose, the beginning of a long debate, a long, hard debate. It was very ambitious. I know the food industry is going to be very defensive about it. And, you know, we are going to see a lot of resistance to it. But I think the current trends, and if you look at consumer trends, consumers are looking for more natural foods. They do not want to be exposed to videos of animal welfare issues online, which heretofore they weren't privy to because a lot of the agricultural practices were not visible. But, you know, young people now are growing up with a horror of looking at how animals are treated in certain situations, not all, and that has to change, you know. Now, in Ireland, we're very lucky. We've grass-fed, pasture-fed animals.
Happy out in the fields.
You know, a lot of what we're doing is ahead of the curve, you know. So we have very good dairy, we've got very good lean meat, and meat is important. Like meat, and again, I want to emphasise, this is a flexitarian diet. It's a play on the words flexible and vegetarian, but it is not asking anyone to cut out meat, fish, chicken, poultry or animal and dairy foods. It is not asking us to do that, it's asking us to skew it in favour of more plant-based foods.
Okay, hold that thought and we'll come back to it after the Angelus and the news. But first, we'll pause for the Angelus. Welcome back to the programme. And as you may know, Paul and me is still with me. Now, just before we carry on ourselves, Paul, a couple of calls in. Absolutely rubbish, Marion. I would take that report with a pinch of salt. Well, salt is always good.
Salt is targeted for reduction as well.
Marion, Healy Ray was right on the money. All this BS about not meeting meat is just virtue signalling by the usual self regarding Right On Brigade. And another one says, good morning, Marion. I remember picking hazelnuts from trees on the roadside as a child in North Cork. Is hazelnut indigenous to Ireland? I think it is, actually. There's a lot of scepticism going on here. The ill health, again, can be attributed to processed foods, such as processed meat. The soft drinks are a killer for health. The fast foods are unhealthy. We are carnivores. We are not herbivores only. We are omnivores. Tackle the destruction of the rainforest. Tackle the high SUV gas guzzlers. And that comes from Kerry.
Right, yeah. Well, transport doesn't seem to be the issue. You know, according to these environmentalists, it's food production and the food systems that we have in place. And obviously, you know, we are, as we said, we are different to many other countries in that respect. But there are practices around the world that do need to change. And I think we all can look at our oceans. We can look at the pollution. We can look at, you know, the scarcity of water that is occurring, even when we're on holidays in places like South Africa. And, you know, these are all, I suppose, as a result of how we're living. So there's a huge environmental impact from our food production and agricultural practices, and these do need to change.
And but am I right or am I wrong? You would know because you deal with people specifically in this. I get a feeling that there is a tide that's turning, that people are thinking about these things more.
Yes, I do believe they are. And younger people in particular, because they're on social media a lot more frequently maybe than others, you know, they're well aware of the issues. And, you know, nobody wants to see, you know, the insides of a bird with lots of plastic or, you know, some sort of sea life that has died as a result of getting caught in our own nets and pollution. You know, so I think that, you know, there's a growing understanding that we do have to change how we live.
Right. And the other thing about it is waste. I mean, there's just an extraordinary amount of waste.
Yeah.
And it seems to nearly be unavoidable. Like if you were a single person going into a shop, pretty well anywhere around the country now, same everywhere, to buy one or two carrots is an impossibility.
Yeah, that is true. And
you get big bags of things that you know you're going to throw out.
I think it's something retailers do need to address. And again, there are opportunities here because you can put a little extra margin on a smaller portion, you know, if that's the way the trends are going. But to avoid home waste, there are a number of initiatives now that are coming, I suppose, to the consumer. For example, there's a great website called stopfoodwaste.ie, which people should look at because there's great tips on how we can prepare for cooking, shopping, all of that sort of thing, even composting, which is important. And then the chefs in restaurants, you know, they're all adopting more initiatives now, like root to stem, where they're using all parts of the plant, or head to tail, where they're using more of the animal and less waste is occurred. Retailers, again, they're on this, and you know, they have a huge problem. I mean, an absolute huge problem. And the UN goal is to halve the food waste globally by 2050.
Well, it's estimated now that we waste one third.
Yeah, about a third. I know that's a British figure, but I couldn't find any Irish figures. But a third of all of the food we bring into our homes, we might as well just throw it in the bin because it is food waste. So we do need to start thinking about this. Maybe lists, maybe our smart fridges might help in the future. You know, they'll sort of write our shopping list when we need to.
And like a robot.
And maybe alert us when
Did
things are going out of date.
Did you see that item on the news that a load of robots got fired?
Did they?
In Japan yesterday because they were behaving inappropriately, and one was tormenting some poor man who was sleeping and was snoring and the robot thought he was talking. Anyway, that's just an aside.
But legislators as well, I think, need to help us in terms of food waste. Make it easy for us, because, you know, retailers have in the past had difficulty giving the waste what they would consider things that are going out of
shelf life,
to charities because of, you know, of restrictive legislation. So we've got to actually think outside the box about this. We've got to be, in, you know, innovative in terms of how we can do this. And, you know, that Food Cloud is absolutely excellent initiative where those two young ladies, you know, to avoid food waste, are offering to take food from retailers and give it to those people who are most in need of it in our cities.
Yeah, and I know that, that there were offers on, then there was question of collection, then there was a question of storage, all those complicated things. Here's another one that says, I have four sons who play rugby, who drink milk like it was water and eat meat like there was no tomorrow. If we are all going to live without it, now Paula didn't say live without it, she said reduce it. If we are going to live without it, they would leave home immediately. And that comes from Mary in Navan. And she said they're growing lads and they need the protein. And people believe that.
Absolutely. You know, we do need protein when we're growing and developing muscle. There's no doubt about that. And young men in particular need extra protein when they're involved in resistance type exercise.
Yeah.
So when they're in the gyms, they need to up their protein intake to apparently, you know, anywhere between 1.8 to 2 grams per kilogram body weight over the day, spread over the day, to ensure that they are covering their need for protein.
1.2 grams.
So sorry, 2 grams. Say 2 grams per kilogram body weight of protein.
Yeah.
Now, some people eat way in excess of that anyway, without even realising it. You know, and I suppose the elite athlete will actually do the sums, they'll do the math, they'll
sit
down.
Well, they will actually,
yeah,
yes.
They'll do the math. And, you know, you can get, it's more difficult, but you can get substantial and enough protein from things like legumes, peas, beans, if you're innovative. Yeah. Now, there's a huge opportunity for food industry here again. You know, and what I'm really encouraged by is more protein-enriched and protein-enhanced and a protein-filled snacks that we're seeing on the supermarket shelves. So we're getting more innovative with nuts and seeds. We're getting more innovative with, you know, some of the plant proteins from legumes. So, you know, they're even making pastas with legumes now. So imagine having a bean pasta. You know, these are the things that we will see more of in the future.
Right.
I don't think that any of us really want to eat crickets, but that's happening in other parts of the world where they're eating insects and crickets.
I've seen them.
Yeah, and I've tasted them.
No, thank you.
I've tasted them and they're actually fantastic. In a blind taste, I had them in the food, a big food exhibition in London, and I actually thought they were amazing. It was only afterwards I
think of all that protein. A cricket. No, I've seen them. I declined. Listen, Paula Mead, thank you very, very much indeed, and we'll take a break.